In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. As you well know, in this day, perhaps more than in any other, the family is under attack. Marriage is under attack. Children are under attack even before they can get out of the womb. To say they're under attack is not at all said to minimize human guilt. We are indeed guilty. From the purest secularist to the greatest Christian, there is not one of us who has kept the fourth commandment perfectly, honor your father and mother, or kept the sixth commandment perfectly, you shall not commit adultery. There is only one who has. Thanks be to God, our Lord Jesus Christ has kept not only these two commandments, but all of them for us. He, the perfect faithful spouse in our place. He, the perfect faithful parent in our place. He, the perfect faithful child in our place. And it is this righteousness of His that has been credited to us by grace through faith and apart from anything that we have done. God be praised. But we are nonetheless under attack, satanic attack. And how is it that Satan initially attacked Eve? Eat and you shall be like God. You shall be free. Boy, does that hit home today. We Americans, if we love anything, it's what? Freedom. What better foundation for freedom than evolution? And here I mean what the Bible calls kinds, that one kind becomes another kind over bazillions of years until we have Adam and Eve. What better foundation than that? Because that foundation lets us be free from God. We need no God. We have a natural process by which we're here. Or if we're willing to keep God, it allows us the freedom to have a God of our own choosing. If Genesis 1 was wrong on that, and that's the first chapter of the Bible, what else is the Bible wrong on? Anything I want it to be wrong on. Perfect freedom. And upon this foundation of freedom, we have seen the sexual revolution take over in our country. Most thinkers say that it began with no-fault divorce. What a misnomer. But what is meant by no-fault divorce is simply that I can divorce you for any reason I want, wife. Any reason, no reason. Perfect freedom. Marry who I want, divorce who I want. That's the American way. And from that comes even greater freedom. Well, if I have that freedom at my disposal to engage in marriage and destroy a marriage willy-nilly as I see fit, then why can't I also, in my freedom, define marriage however I want? So we see marriage not defined between a husband and a wife, as it has been defined for millennia, but now between male and male, female and female, and if we apply our logic of freedom, we are in stodgy, dusty dinosaur days. Why not allow freedom to reign? People can marry whoever they want to marry. Multiple partners, non-humans, rocks. The sky's the limit. Perfect freedom. From there, we've discovered the freedom of gender. Male and female, He created them. No, the last time I checked on Facebook, which is far more authoritative, there were dozens of genders for you to choose from. I think over 71 genders. I mean, how barbaric. Only 71? Let's be enlightened here. Why not 71 times 71? The logic applies. Why not infinite genders? We are free. And so we are free to express ourselves sexually however we please too. And no one will tell me any different. So in our freedom, we have all the sexual intercourse we want, and we do so no matter the cost. even if the cost is the life of an innocent baby who is brought into the equation completely innocently and unwillingly. In short, it is precisely our quest for freedom, for self-rule, for autonomy that leads us into rebellion against God and leads us into a self-chosen bondage. You recall that that's what we mean as Lutherans by bondage of the will. It's not that I will to do the right thing, but then, oh, the devil binds me against my will into doing the evil thing. That's not bondage of the will. Bondage of the will is that my will agrees perfectly with Satan's will and therefore is in bondage to itself. The very thing I desire is the very thing that enslaves me. Now, in saying these things, it's not at all that we Christians can sit on a high horse. As I mentioned moments before, not one of us is free from the accusation of the law. Not one of us has kept the fourth, sixth, or any other commandment perfectly. All of us are condemned by this. So, to be frank, not one of us has a high horse upon which to sit. But that doesn't stop us Christians from realizing something so very important. Like beggars who have found a better way than starving, who have found a better way than dumpster diving, we have found a place where we can receive pure bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. That word of God is our bread. Like lost hikers, we've found a better way than staying lost, seeing who's going to die first so that we can have something to eat. We rather have found a better way. We have found a way out. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In short, we Christians have found a better way than what the world is offering us. And this is huge because this needs to be our message to the world. A world of souls who are broken by the sexual revelation, who are broken by the pursuit of freedom, who are broken by their rebellion against God. We need to say to them, not only is there perfect forgiveness of sins for you in the blood shed on the cross of Jesus, but my friends, there is also a better way. And that is precisely what Jesus lays out for us this day. He does it without blinking. He does it without being ashamed. He simply says it as it is, and we ought to as well. Look with me at Mark chapter 10, verse 2. There we read that Pharisees came up in order to test Jesus. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" You see, Moses in Deuteronomy 24 had permitted them to sign a certificate of divorce. The great argument of Jesus' day, very much like the argument of our day regarding no-cause divorce. What exactly does the woman have to do so that you can kick her out in good conscience? Well, as one rabbi said, in effect, if she burns the toast, that's sufficient. Out she goes. Another said, meh. If you're not attracted to her, attracted to somebody else more, out she goes. So there was a great libertinism in Jesus' day. And there was also, on the other side, a great conservatism. You never get divorced no matter what. Moses' ordinance was a civil ordinance, and it was because of the hardness of your heart. Which way was Jesus going to answer? Trap probably consists in this, and whatever way he answered, they'd simply play the other card, hoping to destroy the trust his followers had in him. Look what Jesus does. Though he is the Son of God and God himself, he doesn't simply answer. Look what he does. He answered them, verse 3, "What did Moses command you?" In other words, he turns them where? To the Scriptures. Even Jesus himself turns them to the Scriptures for their answer. They said Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. That's the Deuteronomy 24 I just mentioned. Jesus said to them, but you're not thinking about Genesis 1 and 2. Because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Look with me more closely at what Jesus says and how it speaks to our current context. Verse 6, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. At least one Lutheran synod, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, who on the whole spectrum is right next to us, on their website used this verse as a proof text for a literal six-day creation taught in Genesis. Namely, because Jesus doesn't say, after eons upon eons were complete, God made them, Adam and Eve, male and female. But rather, Jesus says, from the beginning of creation, early on, at the very start, we know technically on the sixth day, God made them male and female. Jesus simply states it as it is. Six-day creation, just like Genesis teaches. Everything else, just like Genesis teaches. What about all the quote-unquote evidence for evolution? What about all the evidence that dead bodies don't rise? But they do. Jesus' body rose. And why do you believe that? Because a book of eyewitnesses tells you that. Why would you ever believe that Genesis 1 is an accurate account of the dawn of creation? Well, because it's written by an eyewitness, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. If you're going to have one, you ought to have the other. And don't forget that we are called not to live by sight, but by faith. From the beginning of creation, God made them 72 different genders. No, God made them male and female, just two. This is the Creator's way. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife unless she gains weight, unless she burns his supper. The wife ought to cling to her husband unless he ends up not making enough money to please her, unless she finds something better. No. Look what Jesus says. A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. Now, what is marriage, according to Jesus? A man and his wife. That's it. They shall become one flesh, Jesus says. It cannot happen with a man and a man or a woman and a woman or any other combination. Only a man and a woman can be united in one flesh, as demonstrated by that one flesh union in their children. The one flesh union embodied. So they are no longer two, Jesus says, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together. This one flesh union is nothing we can perform. It is a union that God performs. What God has joined together, let not man separate. And that's quite different from what the rabbis of the day were saying. That's why verse 10, inside the house, later on, the disciples asked him again about this matter. Jesus, are you really sure? Are you really sure? It's that simple? Are you really sure it's that strict? This isn't going to be good for evangelism, you know. How are we going to lead people in if we're going to immediately curtail their freedom to divorce? Jesus very calmly and very plainly restates it even more clearly. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Whether it's divorce or whether it's adultery that accuses us, let's let it accuse us. Let's repent, let's confess, and let's be forgiven. And then, with clear hearts, let's see why it is that it is so fundamental for Jesus to hold firm to the strictness of marriage. We'll take a look at that in just a moment. Last but not least, we get the impression all of this was happening inside the house. There's a knock at the door. Look, they were bringing children to him. Parents were bringing children that he might touch them. Now, the disciples, we presume, went to the door and rebuked them. No. Jesus is much too important for children. He's not going to waste his time with babies. But when Jesus saw it, When Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Here it's not hard at all to see what Jesus' commentary on abortion would be. Not only "thou shalt not murder," but "let the little children come to me." And if you tie those two sentiments in with his own incarnation, Jesus came to us how? In the womb of the Virgin Mary as a fetus himself. This is why Christians cannot, in fact, be Christian and permit abortion at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. It's the same as aborting the Christ as he came in the womb of Mary. You cannot hold to that. "Let the little children come to me," Jesus says, "and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." One wonders if, in a picture, heaven is just full of little children. "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, what does Jesus mean, receive it as a little child? Well, you have to go all the way back to the days of holding your newborn in your arms, or you have to imagine as such. What does that little child do? Not a darn thing. What does that little child earn or merit? Are you kidding me? By screaming all night long? But what do you do for that little child? Everything. You bathe it. You clothe it. You change it. You feed it. You raise it and train it. You discipline and encourage it. You nurture and love it. Why? Pure love. That is how God loves you. And that is why Jesus says, whoever doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a little child can't enter it. You have to be his child. And indeed, he takes you home, as it were, into the church. He bathes you in the waters of holy baptism, washes all your sins away now and forever. He wipes away when you've filthied and mucked yourself by his holy absolution, won for us by the death of Christ on the cross. He feeds you here at his family table, the very bread of immortality and the wine of his covenant, body and blood. He raises you and trains you. He disciplines you and encourages you. He wants you to grow and be mature and be wise. And when our last hour comes, he draws us home to himself. You see, it is a good and beautiful thing that he be our father and we be his dear children. Just as it is a good and wonderful thing if we think about this, Jesus is our bridegroom, and we, the church, are his bride. Now you can see the hidden gospel in Jesus' words. It is good news that Jesus is strict on divorce, because that means one thing. He will never divorce you. Ever. The two have become one flesh. God has become man. We are flesh of his flesh and bones of his bones, one with Jesus Christ, our Savior. As some of us know, when you get married, the debts of one become the debts of the other. And so it is too in this divine marriage that our sins and debts become Jesus' sins and debts. He takes them upon himself and there pays for them once and for all, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood. In order to set us free, he enters our bondage, bearing the guilt of our sins, being bound to the cross, and he removes our sinfulness in this way. He removes the guilt of our sin, so that God reckons us innocent and righteous, truly, each one of us. And then he begins to remove the power of sin. He gives us the Holy Spirit so that by his power, we begin to have a new heart and a new will and a new mind. And we begin to work toward healing and repairing family and marriage, relationships between fathers and children and children and fathers. All of this, the good and gracious gift of our Lord Jesus. And that's what we saw going all the way back to the Genesis text earlier today. Do you remember how God does it? The very first marriage? He puts Adam into a deep sleep, doesn't he? and then takes from his side the rib and fashions that rib into Eve, his bride. Now look at the cross at our new Adam. God puts Jesus into a deep sleep, the deep sleep of death. And there, as the spear opens his side, God opens his side and takes not a rib, but what flows forth? Water and blood. St. John, along with the church fathers, say that's the water of baptism and the blood of the new covenant given to you in the chalice. Baptism in the Lord's Supper, that is how the church, that is how his bride is formed. Jesus' cross is a most blessed marriage. And this is the point of these texts and the point of Jesus' teaching. God loves you as a bridegroom loves his bride, and he will never forsake you. God loves you as a father loves his children, and he loves you no matter what you do, no matter what you've done. Does that mean we ought to go put that to the test? No. A loving father would say, you'll only hurt yourself. Don't do that. You are mine. Not only do I forgive you, not only do I love you, but what I have for you is a better way than what Satan and this world are offering. Abide in my word. You will know the truth. It will set you free. I have a better way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for prayer.